Listen up. If you like the show, then give us some love. The next time you're going to buy something on Amazon, before you do, go to our website at ontheclockpodcast.com and then click the Amazon banner. It doesn't cost you anything, but we get credit for the referral and it helps us to keep the show on air. Remember, before buying on Amazon, just go to our website at ontheclockpodcast.com and click the amazon.com banner. Today's podcast is brought to you by audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at www.audibletrial.com/ontheclock. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player.
Are we ready?
Oh, yeah!
Time to get this party started.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome.
You're on the clock with Matt Geiger, only on the Lineup Media Group Podcast Network.
Will the Broncos win the AFC West? How bad are the Green Bay Packers? And much, much more on this week's episode of the You're on the Clock podcast. My name is Matt Geiger. Joining me, as always, my co-host, Iron Mike. We have a bunch of stuff to talk about today. We're going to go over our fantasy golden garbage and our picks, as well as a little bit of a debate about Denver, Oakland, Kansas City, and the race in the NFC North. So, Iron Mike, let's jump right into it. How are you doing today?
Doing well, thank you.
So,
what happened to just jumping right in and not doing an intro? Just jump right in.
All right. Well,
let's go. Dive in. Don't be scared. Don't test the water.
The Denver Broncos have apparently been playing Peyton Manning injured. News came out that not only did he have bruised ribs or a rib injury, but he also has a partial tear in the Lisfranc part of his foot. I don't even know where that is in your foot, but apparently earlier in week 10, he was walking around with a limp and the Broncos still played him, most likely so he can get the passing yards record. But then he proceeded to throw 4 interceptions. So my question to you is, with Brock Osweiler as their quarterback, do the Broncos stand a chance of winning this division?
Yeah, they have a 3-game lead right now on the division. And the only reason for that is because the Chiefs have been playing well lately.
The Chiefs are on a 3-game winning streak.
And the Oakland Raiders are on a 2-game losing streak. So, you know, as far as Oakland's concerned, Denver is lucky that they've been losing. Otherwise, they could be right behind them, 1 game back.
The unknown variable in all of this is how good is Brock Osweiler?
Well, we're going to get to see that this week.
The only thing that I think Denver has working in their favor is
their defense.
Yeah, but I mean, on the offensive side of the ball, the only thing that they really have going for them is that Osweiler has a functioning arm.
Listen,
and
Manning's
he can walk.
Arm
and
works.
He can walk.
His arm works. His legs work. Yeah, sure. But
Going back into I think it was 2 years ago when Osweiler got drafted, I thought he had one of the stronger arms in the draft class that he came out in. I didn't think he was the smartest player in the world, but he has size and the arm strength. He has the receivers. They have Sanders. They have Demaryius Thomas. They have the new tight end, Vernon Davis. They have all these weapons, and then they have the guys in the receiving game. But moving forward, they're going to rely heavily on the running game to help the young quarterback work his way into this offense and build a rapport with everybody involved in the offense. It doesn't help him that the offensive line is not playing good.
No, the offensive line is the biggest missing piece to this puzzle in Denver and why the offense has struggled, why the offense only has 205 points scored.
Not only that, but they're one of the worst teams in the league in rushing.
Yeah.
Compared to last year when they were one of the best.
They've been bad.
And
they've been really bad.
You also have to take into consideration, you know, Osweiler came in. He didn't necessarily play awful, but he didn't play very good either. Emmanuel Sanders was ruled out prior to the game, which I don't think anybody really saw coming. But moving forward, Denver's working against a stacked deck because they're competing against two teams now. Because they let Kansas, you know, Kansas City's been playing well, but they let Kansas City creep in. Oakland's on a little bit of a skid, but I still think that they're in contention, if not just for the division, also for a wild card spot.
I think that one of the advantages that Denver has going forward the rest of the season is that they've already played Kansas City twice. So they don't have to worry about slipping up against Kansas City again.
Right,
Kansas
because then City, essentially you're losing two games every time you lose to them.
Yeah, Kansas City might have, you know, had the season sweep on these guys if it weren't for, you know, I guess a missed call on Andy Reid's part, having Jamal Charles run the ball back in week two when he fumbled.
The fumble.
You think about that, that game might have went into overtime. Kansas City might have won. And
all right.
Now you're looking at a 6-3 I mean, Denver team.
If you ask me, there's still a lot of football left to be played, but there are scenarios where Denver maybe misses the division and gets the wild card.
Absolutely.
But looking forward,
looking forward, I mean, right now, if you just started watching football today, you would think that Kansas City's got the best shot. They're on a 3-game winning streak. Everybody else in that division is on a losing streak.
Not to mention Denver's 3-2 in the last 5. So is Kansas City. So yeah. they're both playing the same quality of football right now.
Yeah, and you've seen it plenty of times in the past where the first half almost doesn't matter if it's a tight race down the road.
Right. What I was saying is looking forward to next year.
Yeah.
If Peyton Manning comes back. Or first of all, will Peyton Manning come back?
Will he play again this year is a question, let alone next year.
I think the factors that are going to play into whether Peyton plays this year are whether or not Osweiler has success and whether or not the team has success under when Osweiler is under center. And then, you know, there's always a potential that he gets hurt because then who's the quarterback after that? You know what I mean? If they don't have anybody else there that they can rely on, do they ask Peyton to come back in? Or, you know, potentially they have the division clinched. Osweiler comes out and performs poorly in week 17. Do they go with a banged up or a somewhat healthy Peyton Manning, or do they keep rolling with Osweiler into the playoffs? And I think that will have a lot to do with whether or not he plays in 2016.
Well, if any kind of playoff situation is still in the picture come week 17, first week of the playoffs, and Manning's able to play, he's going to be the guy on the field.
I don't,
without a doubt.
He threw 4 interceptions.
It doesn't matter. You can't keep Peyton Manning on the sideline.
Okay, so not only did he throw 4, but I saw another interesting stat. He threw 4, and then another 3 were dropped. So he potentially threw 7 interceptions in this game. And that's not the first time where he's thrown balls that were interceptable that the defense just didn't pick off. He's not playing well.
So Manning next year is the last year of his deal. He's set to make $19 million, and he does not have a no-trade clause. You see a possibility scenario where they trade him?
No. I see a possibility of him sitting on the bench.
I don't.
Because you waive him, you still have to pay him. At least you have a decent insurance policy.
If that situation, you know, comes to play, he asks for a trade. I think. I don't think.
But who's going to pick up Peyton Manning after the season he's having right now? Who would take that chance? It depends because you have teams like
a team that wants to make a lot of money.
Well, not only that,
because
you
bring
in
a big name like Manning.
But he'd have to waive the no trade clause, or
he doesn't have a no trade clause.
He doesn't?
No.
Okay.
A salary without a no trade clause.
I misunderstood what you were saying. I guess a team like maybe like Detroit, who if they lose Stafford, might pull the trigger on a trade like that. But then again, at that point for Detroit, you're in rebuild mode. Maybe a team like St. Louis.
If St. Louis decides, hey, we're going to go to L.A. I mean, I know they don't have a stadium
there yet.
I know, but somebody like that where they could say, all right, this is our last year in St. Louis. We got to make some money. Let's bring in Peyton Manning.
I mean, it's
let's
it's
sell
iffy.
Out the stadium.
All right, so we're going to jump into some quick injuries, news, and notes before we talk about the Green Bay Packers. The first bit is coming out of St. Louis, where the quarterback has been changed. Nick Foles is benched in favor of Case Keenum, coming after Nick Foles is playing like god-awful amounts of terribleness. I don't really know if that's any way to describe it, but that's how I would describe it.
He hasn't been bad.
He hasn't thrown a touchdown pass in like four games. He's only thrown for 300 yards once, I think, all year.
Their offense ranks dead last in the NFL. And when your offense ranks dead last, when you have a running game that's top five in the NFL,
it's a problem.
It's a huge problem because that means your offense is kind of moving backwards when you pass.
What I have heard, and you know, a bunch of the writers are all reporting the same stuff, but Nick Wagner, who's an ESPN beat writer, does a great job down in St. Louis. He said that there's a very, very short leash for Case Keenum. Like, he could come in on the first drive and throw a pick, and Foles is right back in. But they had to do something. They have to shake it up a little bit. So we'll see how that works out. Hopefully, it works out in favor of St. Louis, because I think I'll be at the game in Baltimore this weekend.
Well, it's weird because you had said in Case Keenum's last start, which was at Baltimore, he was 20 of 42 with an interception. And this week,
they're playing at Baltimore. That was also, you know, with Houston, different offense.
Yes, yes.
I will also note the Rams lost two offensive linemen for the year. I think one was a backup offensive lineman. The other one was Jamon Brown, who was playing right guard for the Rams. Next bit of news, Rob Ryan, the defensive coordinator for the New Orleans Saints, has been fired. And Dennis Allen, who was a defensive executive of some sort.
He used to be the coach of the Oakland Raiders.
Dennis Allen has been brought on to fill in as the interim. This coming after New Orleans is ranked 32nd in the league in total defense. They're playing terrible.
New Orleans defense just got
lit up for what, 41, 42?
47.
47 by the Washington Redskins and Kirk Cousins. So, I mean, you have to make a change there, no?
Yeah, in 10 games this year, they've held their opponents to under 20 points once.
And who was it?
It was... No. That's Dallas put up 20. Never. They didn't.
So they've held the team to exactly 20 points once, and that was the lowest they've done all season. My question is, why wasn't this done sooner?
Because he has a name in the NFL. His father, Buddy Ryan, no?
Yeah.
His brother, Rex Ryan.
Yeah.
That's the only reason.
How far does that take you, though?
It takes you to week 10.
He's been a terrible coordinator for a few years.
He has been. He was bad in Dallas, too.
All right, we're going to shoot over to the swamp of New Jersey, where the Giants have signed former first-round pick and veteran receiver. I don't know if veteran's the right term because he's never been that good. But they bring back in Hakeem Nicks, most likely just to have a veteran leadership role on the team. You might see him in...
He'll be on the practice squad for 8 years and still be a veteran.
Yeah, I guess that's true. You're probably going to see him in like four or five receiver sets. No major impact unless they see another injury. But this ties into Victor Cruz, who's been ruled out. He's getting season-ending calf surgery. He didn't play a single snap this year. I don't even think he played in the preseason. So... sad to hear about Victor Cruz, but this to me means he should come into camp next year 100% healthy. No question, no dinks, bruises, anything like that. Michael Floyd of the Arizona Cardinals has a hamstring injury, and guard Mike Iupati has a neck injury, which looked pretty bad. He got cracked. It almost looked helmet to helmet, but they had to actually bring the ambulance onto the field to get him off. They had him in a neck brace with, you know, on the cart and all that
stretcher.
Stuff on the stretcher. Both of these guys are listed as day to day. It sucks, man. Michael Floyd was putting together a pretty decent stretch of games.
Yeah, he was all right the last few weeks.
Some news out of Cleveland: Johnny Manziel has been named the starter for the rest of the season. We're not going to talk too much about this because they're on a bye. We're gonna jump into that next week. Brian Hoyer suffered a concussion during the Monday Night Football win against the Cincinnati Bengals, which blew my mind.
Yeah.
TJ Yates came in the second half.
Threw a touchdown to DeAndre Hopkins.
He threw a ball into the end zone, and DeAndre Hopkins caught it. He didn't throw him the touchdown pass.
Which results in a touchdown.
He didn't throw him the touchdown pass. He threw a ball. His status, obviously, you know, we say it all the time. You have to go through the protocol, so his status is still up in the air. Running back TJ Yeldon of the Jacksonville Jaguars is in a walking boot. The extent of the injury isn't known, but as Mike noted when we were doing our notes before the show, who did you say was in a walking boot?
Allen Hurns was in a walking boot last week up until Thursday, and
he played and he scored a touchdown.
It might just be a precaution thing, but if you have TJ Yeldon on your fantasy team, keep an eye on.
Probably the most significant injury news, especially from a fantasy football aspect, Patriots wide receiver Julian Edelman has a broken foot. He's out 6 to 8 weeks, which rules him out for the playoffs. Until the playoffs.
For the fantasy playoffs, for sure. If you own Edelman on your fantasy team,
drop him.
Drop him.
Unless it's a keeper league.
You can safely drop Edelman and pick somebody else up. Probably Amendola.
We talked about Victor Cruz already. Sam Bradford suffered a concussion and a sprained left shoulder. He's considered day-to-day. Once again, not only is he going through the protocol, but with a shoulder injury, it could keep him off the field a little bit longer. Sanchez came in and threw a late interception that wound up costing the Eagles a game. But I like this offense under Sanchez compared to Bradford. Sanchez has a little bit more mobility. He knows the offense a little better. And Jordan Matthews was having big games last year.
Yeah, in times last year when Sanchez came in, he wasn't bad at all, but he wasn't great. He was good.
Right. News coming out of San Fran after their bye. Anquan Boldin is not yet at full speed. He's dealing with a hamstring issue, and Carlos Hyde is day-to-day with a foot issue. Hyde said that he's feeling better, but he's still day-to-day. Missing those two guys in your offense, especially when you're putting out Blaine Gabbert.
When those guys are pretty much your offense.
Right, and Blaine Gabbert's the guy on the center.
And Anquan Boldin at full speed isn't really that fast.
When Kaepernick wasn't a pile of dog shit, he was able to extend plays and get the ball to other players with his mobility. Gabbert doesn't have that, you know, that asset in his game. So it could be a little bit more of a problem. You'll probably see a little bit more of Torrey Smith and then whatever god-awful running backs they have out there. I couldn't even name two of them. I know they cut Pierre Thomas already. So keep an eye out on that.
They'd have somebody if they didn't cut Jarrett Hayne.
Yep. Well, he's on the practice squad now.
Is he?
Yeah. Kendall Wright, the wide receiver for the Tennessee Titans, is doubtful for week 11. And Justin Hunter is out for the year with a fractured ankle. Is this the start of the DGB era?
You would think, but we're going to have to wait and see. It's a Thursday night game, which is most likely the reason why Wright's not going to play.
Yeah.
If it was Sunday, there'd be a chance he could play, but
yeah, no, I agree. But then again, you know, when you're in the position that Tennessee's in, do you rush him back?
No, you don't.
But then again, it's only two games out.
Yeah, so. I mean, at the same time, Kendall Wright's had his chances, and he hasn't really done much with it.
Yeah,
so.
But he's usually a reliable guy.
He's probably, you know, all around their best receiver on the team, which doesn't say much. Right. But hopefully Green Beckham gets an opportunity and he takes advantage of it.
Yeah, I know, I agree.
Because Jacksonville's secondary isn't something to bring home to mom.
Right. All right, so that's gonna wrap up the injury news and notes. We're going to jump right into our second bullet point discussion. The Green Bay Packers, 3-game losing streak, and they're now in second place in the NFC North.
Second place, one game back of
the Minnesota Vikings. And Iron Mike's pick is looking better and better. Here's my question. What do they look like going forward? The offense doesn't look good. You know, Eddie Lacy comes off of the bye week. They're saying he's overweight. He's banged up. They declare him inactive this week, week 10. James Starks has a decent game. But, you know, with Lacy performing the way he's been performing all year and the offense not looking as good as it has been, what do they do? How do they win?
You throw the ball 60 times.
I guess so, because that's what Aaron Rodgers essentially did this week.
He did.
And Davante Adams had like 21 targets or something.
Listen, they had a couple opportunities to win this game because who was it, Matt Prater? He missed two extra points. The Lions kicker.
Yes.
He missed two extra points.
And they did have a chance. They scored the late touchdown. They didn't get the two-point conversion, but then they recovered they the, got onside the onside kick. So
Green Bay, it's not over for Green Bay. Is it going to be a tough road? Yes. And it starts this week with Minnesota, because if they don't win this week, then they're two games back on the division from Minnesota.
They have four division games left this year. Two of the four against Minnesota. Those are important games. All four of them are important games. And then their non-division schedule is not, you know, it's not much easier. I mean, they do play the Cowboys, but then they play the Raiders and the Cardinals, who are both not pushovers.
Well, come December 13th against Dallas, there's a good chance that Dallas is back to...
They're back somewhat to 100%.
Somewhat of a normal team.
One thing that we forgot to mention that I think we said, you know, but it's inevitable now.
We'll touch on it later on.
Right. Romo's back this week. Dez Bryant's back already. And they have somewhat of a running game right now. Darren McFadden has been pretty reliable.
Overall in the season, they're top 10 in rushing offense.
Which, I mean, I think that's just a testament to how bad the rushing is in the NFL this year.
Yeah, it's a really weird season.
Regardless of that, on a scale from 1 to 10, how comfortable would you be saying that the Green Bay Packers win this division?
On a scale of 1 to 10, me?
Yeah.
I'd say like 2, because I think the Vikings
are going to win.
I agree. Vikings are going
to
win.
The Vikings look very good.
I've thought it all year.
Green Bay needs to get out of this slum. They need to figure out a way to get their offense working. Their defense has been giving up chunks of points.
Their offense hasn't been what it was because they are missing Jordy Nelson. And, you know, stuff like this brings me back to when I was in high school when the Buffalo Bills were good with Bledsoe, Eric Molds, and Peerless Price. You remember that team?
Yes.
And Price went to Atlanta, and everybody thought he was going to be great. And I said no, because he doesn't have Eric Molds on the other side of the field.
And Peerless Price wound up
nothing. Yeah, there's some guys that can't do anything without a number one wide receiver on the other side of the field. Now you can flip it and say, oh, well, Jordy Nelson might not be as good without Randall Cobb on the field. And I don't think that's true.
No,
I don't
because
think,
Randall Cobb
I don't
benefits.
I don't think we'll ever see that. But
Randall Cobb benefits from being in the slot.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when Nelson's on the outside, it opens up more.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I understand what
you're saying. Jordy Nelson goes out there and he'll fight for a jump ball. He'll run the deep routes. He'll get his nose dirty fighting
directly,
for the ball.
That's directly affecting this
offense. Right, and because they don't have that, Randall Cobb doesn't have the same open lanes or ability to get himself open. They need to get this together. Davante Adams led the team 21 targets, okay?
How many catches did he have?
10.
Yeah. Like
so you don't know how many of those are overthrown or whether or not it's Rodgers' fault or he's just dropping balls. Something has to be done.
You got
to
catch more than half
the second best receiver on the team was Justin Perillo. Who? Exactly.
Yeah, touchdown.
But then, like, Jared Aberdytis had more receiving yards than Randall Cobb.
All right, so
the ball's being spread out a little bit more, but it's not doing anything.
So now that you're on board, kind of counting them out of winning the division, kind of, all right? What do you think their chances are on missing the playoffs? Do you think they make the playoffs, or do you think?
They absolutely do make the playoffs. I think with the way the rest of the NFC is shaping up, even if they drop to Minnesota.
The rest of the way the NFC is shaping up. All right, so you got the division leaders. You got the Giants, the Vikings, the Panthers, and the Cardinals, okay?
Yeah.
All right, and now the two wild cards are Green Bay and Atlanta right now.
Right.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 other teams are two games back from that right now.
Okay.
What do you mean the rest of the way it's shaping
up? So let's
up?
Just say...
That leaves the door open for seven other teams.
Theoretically, Minnesota drops both games... Green Bay drops both games in Minnesota.
Yep.
They still beat Detroit. They still beat Chicago. Then they have a tough game against Arizona. They have a game against Oakland.
And Dallas.
And Dallas. They win three of those games, they get the wild card.
At 9-7?
And don't forget, Atlanta's not playing that good either.
No, Atlanta's not playing that good
either. So they could drop the wild card too.
No, yeah, you're absolutely right. I'd say at this point right now, even though they're up two games on all these other teams with a wild card spot, I'd still say it's 50-50 as bad as this offense has been.
I would agree.
And now, as bad as the defense has been.
Staying on with the topic of the wild card, if Green Bay does make the playoffs as a wild card, can they win on the road?
I don't think it matters where they play because they just lost at home. Like, that whole winning at Green at Lambeau thing is out the door now, no?
All right, but all right, just go back to the standings real quick. Do you still have them up?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's say they grab a wild card. The two teams that would get the byes right now are the Panthers and the Cardinals.
Yeah, Cardinals.
Okay, so that means they're playing either at Minnesota.
Yeah.
At New York.
Yeah.
Or at Atlanta.
No, Atlanta would be a wild card. They would play either at Minnesota or the winner of the NFC East.
Okay.
Which could either be the Giants, the Redskins, the Eagles, or even the fucking Cowboys.
Right.
We'll get into that next.
If it gets down to that, the only way I see them losing is if they have to open the playoffs at Minnesota.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because they could easily beat any of the teams in the NFC East.
Not easily. I think the Giants can hang with them.
Well, yeah, the Giants did just take a tough one to the Patriots.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, they're on a bye this week. The week after that, we'll see who the Giants really are, because when you lose to the Patriots by 1 point, that kind of sets the bar for what kind of team you are.
All right, guys. Obviously, if you're listening to this, you're fans of the On the Clock podcast, but we want to let you know that Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. They have titles such as The Hobbit, Divergent, Lean In, and The Book Thief. One of my personal favorites is The Girl on the Train. It's about a middle-aged woman who takes the train home every day in London and gets an inside view into people's lives by looking through their windows on her ride home. So make sure you guys check all those books out, along with 180,000 more, Iron Mike. That's amazing. To download your free audiobook today, go to audibletrial.com/ontheclock. Again, that's audibletrial.com/ontheclock for your free audiobook. And also, while you're on the website, make sure you go check out Lineup Media Group. They have great podcasts that they're putting out. One of the newer ones is Chasing Pucks with Panger. It's a brand new NHL podcast, and you can get all of their stuff on NHLpodcast.com. And that's part of the Lineup Media Group, who, like we said, on top of putting out our podcast, they're putting out a bunch of amazing content. All right, Iron Mike, let's jump right back into it. Before we started to pay the bills, we were talking about the Green Bay Packers. We talked about the Denver Broncos. But one team we forgot to talk about, and we'll graze over it real quick, the Dallas Cowboys. They are getting back Tony Romo this week. They've had Dez Bryant for a few, 2 weeks now, 3 weeks? They're sitting at the bottom of the NFC East at 2-7. They're three games back from Washington and Philly, two games back from Washington and Philly, three from the New York Giants. Can they make the playoffs?
Can they? Yeah, but it's going to take a lot.
Statistically, they can make the playoffs. They need, first of all, I think they probably need to win the rest of their games, and they would need help from the Giants. They need the Giants to drop at least two or three from now until the end of the year.
I think they need the Giants to drop more than that because, in my opinion, if the Dallas Cowboys are going to win this division, they're going to need 9 wins, which would require them to win the remaining 7 games and finish 9-7. Because with the Giants sitting at 5-5, if they win 3 of their last 7, then that puts them at 8-8.
Right. So they would have to. They would need the Giants to lose more than half of their remaining games.
Yeah.
Now, the Cowboys finish the season up. They play the Panthers, the Redskins, the Packers, the Jets, the Bills, and the Redskins. they might not win another game.
And another team they have to worry about is the Redskins.
The Redskins
having a two-game lead on the Cowboys, and they play them twice down the road.
Right. Those two could potentially be huge games.
Yeah.
But they're not beating Carolina.
I don't think so.
The best chance they have of winning the non-division games could be Miami. So, I mean, we'll see how that goes. But they're not taking one against the Packers in Lambeau. I don't think they could beat the Jets. And the Bills are playing a lot better than what they've looked like.
I think they have a better shot against the Packers than what you just sounded like.
I think they should tank, get another high first round pick, build on what they've had this year. You get another year or two out of Romo, and you make the push next year.
Not a chance.
All right.
A chance that happens. All right, not in Dallas.
Now we're going to jump into our Week 11 picks. So just to recap from last week, how did we do?
Last week, Matt, you went 6-8.
Ugh.
And I went 8-6.
So you only gained two games on me.
I gained two.
That puts the standings at Iron Mike at 89-58 and myself at 95-51. So I still have a six-game lead coming down the home stretch. Let's jump right in. Most notably, the Browns, Saints, Giants, and Steelers all have byes. That's three top 10 offenses on byes this week. And the Browns, who surprisingly have been putting up some pretty good numbers. Yeah. But let's jump in, starting with the Thursday night football game, and that is the Tennessee Titans at Jacksonville. What do you got, Mike?
Well, Tennessee's got a good defense, but I think Jacksonville wins. I think with the AFC South being the crap division that it is, it opens the back door for the Jaguars to sneak in. They're only one game back, and yeah. I think they do it here.
Yep. I will say, though, with the whole thing about Tennessee having a top 10 defense, it's just because teams jump out to such an early lead that they don't have to do much. They just play clock control against them. They're missing a bunch of guys on offense. The running game is nowhere near what it should be. I think Jacksonville squeaks one out. I think they could see some struggles, but this is a good game to struggle in because you get it out of your system and then you move forward.
Listen,
I'll take Jacksonville.
I don't think Jacksonville wins by a large margin. I just think they win. Next up, we have the Oakland Raiders traveling to Detroit to play the Lions.
Ooh.
It's an interesting game.
Oof. All right. Damn.
Two good passing offenses here. Really good passing offenses. And Oakland's won two out of the last three.
All right.
The last two out of the last three.
Detroit wins on a very lucky series of events to end the game last week against the Packers. Correct? Green Bay scores. They don't get the two-point conversion, but then they get the onside kick that bounces off of Calvin Johnson out of all people. I think Calvin's pissed about that. He comes in. He makes Stafford force feed on the ball. He has a huge game. I'm taking Detroit. I think Oakland struggles again for the third week in a row.
I think they bounce back and win. Next up, we have the Indianapolis Colts going down to the dirty South Atlanta Falcons. What do you like?
I mean, obviously, at this point, Andrew walks out with a lacerated kidney. He's also got some bruised ribs. Hasselbeck comes in. He didn't play bad in his last start, but you have to believe that Atlanta could take advantage of it.
I hope they can because Atlanta's the better team all around. Both teams are pretty good offensively. Indy's in the better half of the league on passing offense, and Atlanta's top five passing offense, but I like Atlanta.
Which you wouldn't be able to tell if you look at the play of Matt Ryan. But we're both taking Atlanta here. Next game is the St. Louis Rams traveling to Baltimore to take on the Ravens. I wish St. Louis didn't play as bad as they did against the Chicago Bears because now I can't take them.
Yeah, you can.
I mean, I could, but I'm not going to.
Why not?
The offense looked horrendous. And there's a quarterback switch. I don't know, man. If they can't win this game, Jeff Fisher needs to go. They need to find an offensive coordinator who's not afraid to take chances. There's got to be something done. Just give me Baltimore. I might go to this game wearing a Ray Lewis jersey just so I don't look like a schmuck.
All right. Well, I didn't think you were going to do that, so now I'm taking St. Louis. I wanted to take St. Louis, but I thought you were going to take St. Louis.
You want
to
catch up.
I want to catch up in the standings, so now I'm taking St. Louis. Next up is the Tampa Bay Bucks going to Philly to play the Eagles. Tampa Bay, 7th overall in defense, 6th overall rushing offense.
Philly's got a good rushing defense, and their linebackers are finally starting to get healthy. I think the switch to Sanchez helps the offense a lot. You could possibly see this could be a DeMarco Murray receiving game. I'll take Philly.
All right.
This is where Philly makes their run and jumps New York for the playoff for the division.
Yeah, I disagree. I'm taking Tampa Bay. Next up is Denver at Chicago. Denver still has the number one defense. Chicago, surprisingly, number 8 defense.
In this league right now, defense still wins championships. Even with Osweiler coming in and getting his first career start, I still think Chicago's a little suspect. Even though they're on the uptick, I'll take Denver's defense over Chicago's offense right now.
Defense does win championships. This is not a championship game. I'm taking Chicago. New York Jets at the Houston Texans.
Ooh.
You got defense versus offense here.
You're goading me in this game. I see what you're doing.
I don't know what goading means. The only goat I know is Randy Moss.
I'll take the Jets.
Right. Perfect. Just how I wanted it to be.
I'm exactly. That's what goading means. You tried sucking me into picking the Jets.
Surprisingly, the Jets have a good offense so far this year, 11th overall. And, you know, another surprise. The Texans have the 7th overall passing offense. I just think that over the last few weeks, the Jets' pass defense has been awful.
I agree. I think they take advantage. But I think the Jets find a way to fix it.
I don't.
Next game.
Washington Redskins at Carolina Panthers.
I mean, no-brainer.
There's not much to talk about.
No-brainer.
No, Carolina's got a top 10 defense. They're 3rd overall in rushing. We both take Carolina.
All right, Dallas at Miami. Oh, man. Dallas has a good run defense, right?
Dallas has a good run offense as well, somehow still.
I could see Lamar Miller having a big impact in this game. He's done very well since Dan Manbull has taken over as a interim head coach. I'll take Miami.
I think that the 7-game losing streak comes to an end this week.
With Romo
back under center. I said it back in at the end of week 2 going into week 3 that the Cowboys might not win another game until they get Romo and Dez back on the field. I think this is the week.
All right, next
Dallas
one.
Cowboys. Next up, first of the 4 o'clock games, Kansas City at San Diego.
First of all, can I just say thank God there's no more London games because this gives us the full slate of 1 and 4 o'clock games.
I know. The last
few weeks, prior to last week, yeah, there's only been two or
4 o'clock
yeah,
games.
Yeah, exactly.
It's brutal.
And, you know, it just makes it not fun to watch football.
At 4 o'clock.
Right.
I fall asleep.
Anyway, Kansas City at San Diego. Kansas City's on the uptick. I like them to keep it up. They're playing San Diego, who has a terrible run defense. And as long as Kansas City keeps giving Sharkhandrick West the touches, he's going to give them productivity. I'll take Kansas City.
Yeah, I'm going to take Kansas City as well. They had a really bad pass defense for the first half of the season, but they're slowly turning it around. San Diego's first overall in passing offense, but I don't think they have the overall puzzle pieces to
sleeper,
put it together.
Sleeper candidate for Defensive Rookie of the Year, Marcus Peters.
He's been all right.
I think he has like 6 or 7 interceptions.
He's been all right.
All right, next game.
Green Bay at Minnesota. We talked about this before. Pretty much we covered it all.
Let's make this the lunch bet.
Okay.
I'm going to take Green Bay. I don't know why. I feel like they need this win really bad. It'll put them back in a tie with obviously with Minnesota, but they need this game to really get themselves back on track and solidify themselves as not only a contender for the division, but a contender to make the playoffs. Because if they lose four in a row, then you have to start thinking, are they even going to make the playoffs? I'll take Green Bay.
Yeah, I'm going to stick with Minnesota here. I don't know why I went against Minnesota last week when I have them to win the division, but I did, and it cost me a win in the standings.
So I'm going to give you one back.
Yeah, I hope so. Sunday Night Football, we got San Fran. No, I'm sorry.
No, this is another 4
this
o'clock.
This is the last of the 4 o'clock games. San Fran at Seattle. Thank God it's not the Sunday night game.
Seattle hasn't beaten a team with a record better than 500.
Except for the Packers.
But luckily for them, San Fran doesn't have a better than 500 record.
No, they don't.
And lucky for them, Blaine Gabbert is playing quarterback.
Yes, he is.
We're both taking Seattle.
Yeah, I like Seattle too.
Sunday Night Football.
Still got the second best defense, man.
Prime time game. And in my opinion, the best game of the week.
Best game of the year so far.
Yeah. Cincinnati Bengals travel to Arizona. Shit. I can't take Cincinnati the way they played this week against Houston.
Listen to these numbers, okay? Cincinnati on the year so far, 7th overall in offense, 11th overall in defense and passing offense, and 13th overall in rushing offense. You hear
so
that?
Top 15.
You hear that? They're in the better half on everything.
On every year. Statistical category.
Yeah. And then you hear Arizona, ready? 1st in overall offense, 3rd in overall defense, 4th in passing offense, and 8th in running offense.
Jesus.
How do you not take
Arizona? What I will say is I think Bruce Arians is starting to realize.
How do they have two losses?
No, you're right.
You're right.
They slid. They gave up an early one to St. Louis.
Yeah,
which they handed to him. But here's what I was going to say is Bruce Arians is starting to realize that Chris Johnson was a good replacement for Andre Ellington and for, you know, and working him in while also keeping David Johnson relevant. But he's not the solution for the rest of the season. I think you start seeing Chris Johnson get less and less carries. You start seeing Andre Ellington get the ball more. You start seeing David Johnson get the ball more. And they start putting the ball more in Carson Palmer's hands, letting him spread the ball out. I think they start phasing Chris Johnson out, but I think that's irrelevant for this game.
He's got to be a part of the offense if they want to keep this going.
Right, but he's not a 15 to 20 carry guy anymore.
No, not it's after be, you've been running him, running him,
be
running
way
him
more of
season.
A split, yeah. Way more of a yeah. split with either Ellington or Johnson, and then the odd man out on that is going to be the third down guy.
Yeah.
The Monday night game.
So wait, you got Arizona? Or
yeah, Arizona.
You sure you want Arizona?
Yes.
Okay.
The Monday night game, Buffalo against New England in New England at Gillette Stadium. Yeah, not a chance. Iron Mike just circled Buffalo for me. Buffalo's ranked
second in rushing offense.
But that's, you know, LeSean McCoy's been playing well. Carlos Williams is playing well. And you get the added yardage from Tyrod Taylor.
Yeah.
New England's second in passing offense. But they're coming into the game, obviously, without Deion Lewis and now without Julian Edelman. You're going to see a huge uptick in targets to Amendola, who, I mean, crazy stat here, 40 of 48 passes caught. That's really good.
It's good.
You can imagine that out of 8 targets that he didn't catch with Brady, you would assume maybe 3 of them are overthrown. So he's only dropped 5 balls on the whole year, maybe. Somewhere around there.
Yeah.
I think this is a huge Gronk game. I think they try to establish a run, and if that doesn't work, then they just let Brady make it rain however he can. LaFell could have a big game in this, but I think it's going to be big Gronk, big Amendola. I'll take New England.
Yeah, I'm taking New England as well. I don't know how you can't.
Yeah. All right, so that's going to wrap up the Week 11 picks. real quick, we just want to address something. If you tune back to a previous episode called
Giving awards to bad people. We did give awards to bad people.
I kind of ripped Mike for picking AP to win Comeback Player of the Year, which, if you go back and listen, is the only thing that we might have gotten right, because we both picked Andrew Luck for MVP.
That ain't happening.
Mike picked Peyton Manning for Offensive Player of the Year. I picked Julio Jones. And if any receiver is going to win that, it's going to be Antonio Brown. Mike picked Watt, J.J. Watt, for Defensive Player of the Year, which is still a possibility.
He's had 5.5 sacks over the last three games.
Yeah, and I think he's the youngest player to 25 sacks in his career or whatever. He's the youngest player to accumulate however many sacks he has right now. Yeah. But I picked Luke Kuechly, who's missed a few games. Here's where it starts getting a little ugly, if it hasn't already been as ugly as it could be. I picked Sam Bradford as my Comeback Player of the Year. Mike picked AP, like we said. Offensive Rookie of the Year, Mike picked Marcus Mariota. I picked Amari Cooper. It looks like it's going to be Todd Gurley.
Yeah, most likely. Mariota's pieced together two pretty good games, but
Gurley's not been very consistent.
Yeah, he has.
And Defensive Rookie of the Year, which I think is very up in the air. I picked Randy Gregory. Mike picked Danny Shelton. But like we stated when we were talking about the Kansas City game, there's guys like Marcus Peters that you could have thrown in there. There's a ton of guys that are producing on the defensive side as rookies. But we just wanted to throw that in there because we are fucking terrible at predicting awards.
Yeah, I mean, going into next year.
Speaking of being fucking terrible at predicting things, before we go to our fantasy golden garbage, I just want to talk about our DraftKings. Congratulations to the user iTeam for finishing in first. Unfortunately, not only did I not include the Monday night games, but I also only paid out first place, so he's the one that that will get the first place money. Hopefully you are a listener, and if you are, shoot us an email at ontheclockpodcast@gmail.com. we'll find out a way to get you a t-shirt, and we hope you continue playing in our contest. Also, I want to say shout out to a huge fan and good friend, Marcy, who talked shit to both of us very early in the slate of games. I don't know if you saw it on Facebook.
No, I didn't see it on Facebook.
She mentioned that we were in the DraftKings dumpster while she was in first place, which lasted all of 2 hours.
Yeah, that's
but she did finish in third, so congratulations. Iron Mike finished in eighth. I finished in 14th, I think, or 16th. 15th, right in the middle. And another one of our good friends had a nice finish in the top 10.
Yeah, you probably would have stayed in first if you didn't open your mouth.
Yeah.
Another, usually how it goes for me.
Me too. Another one of our friends, Curry Chicken, a.k.a. DJ, finished in the top 10, so big shout-outs to him for that. We're doing it again this week.
Do I have any finishes outside of the top 10 so far?
I think you have like a 15 or a 20.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so all in all, it was a decent week. Have you cashed yet?
Once. I finished in second.
Once. Time. Yeah. Yeah. But this week we're going to do 50 again. We're going to pay out the top two. I guess I mistakenly clicked only pay the top one. Regardless, let's jump right into the fantasy golden garbage, where my gold pick at quarterback is Matt Ryan. I like the matchup. He's been struggling a little bit, but I think he finds a way to pick it back up this week.
Against Indy at home?
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, he's got a good chance.
He plays way better at home. Even if it was away, he plays good on turf. So.
Yeah, true. It's not outside. Gold quarterback for me, Derek Carr.
Is he matchup proof?
Is he matchup proof? No. No, I just don't see Detroit as a good team. And they have the sixth best passing offense in the league right now, so he's proven it so far this year, and I think this is a big chance for him to have a big standout game. At wide receiver, I like Mike Evans against Philly. As Matt said earlier in the show, Philly's got a pretty decent run defense, but their passing defense hasn't been
which is surprising special. Since they've brought guys in the offseason.
Yeah, they have, but with all the targets...
They brought in Maxwell?
Yeah, they brought in Byron Maxwell and Walter Thurman, but with all the targets that Mike Evans has been getting over the last 2-3 weeks, I think this is the week where he finally, you know, gets his shit together.
I think he can put it all together.
Yeah.
But you have to assume now... I would assume that this is the week Seferian Jenkins plays, and there is a potential that Vincent Jackson can come back.
We've been saying AJ is going to play for the last 3 weeks since we had Joe on.
But I refuse to pick him at tight end.
He's in my DraftKings lineup every week, and then I have to change it Sunday morning.
But what I will say is you'll see a slight downgrade in the volume of targets that he's getting, but he should still have production. Philly doesn't have anybody who could really stack up with him. My pick for the gold wide receiver is Calvin Johnson. Like I was stating earlier when we were talking about the Green Bay-Detroit game in Week 10, Calvin is the reason why they almost lost that game. I think he gets very frustrated at the fact that he missed recovering that onside kick, and that really fuels the fire for him to want to come out and produce and help his team win instead of being a liability. He did have a pretty good game last week, too, like 6 catches for 81 yards, but I think he'll top that by a big margin.
I hope so. He's on my team.
My gold running back is Lamar Miller. We talked about the Dolphins earlier. They're playing Dallas, who has a pretty decent run defense. But under Dan Campbell, Lamar Miller has been a very valuable fantasy asset. He's been top 5 in PPR in every game that Dan Campbell's been a head coach. So why not?
Yeah,
top 10.
I hope he does well, too, because I took him from Matt earlier in the season. Running back, I like.
That was you?
That was me.
For Jonathan Stewart?
Yep.
Ugh.
That was me.
Although, neither one of us really got a bad end of that.
Yeah, you did. You got Doug Baldwin.
I don't even think he's on my team anymore. No. Go ahead.
Running back, gold. I like.
Sharkisha
East-West. The matchup's good. Against San Diego, they have a tough time defending people. They're all banged up on both sides of the ball. It's a good opportunity. I think he takes advantage of it, just like he has been for the last few weeks since I said he wasn't going to be anything special.
My gold tight end is Travis Kelce. I just think he's due for a big game. And like
he's
we said,
got one touchdown since week 1.
Yeah, and San Diego is not a good defense. I think they find a way to get him the ball. They're not going to put Jason Verrett on him, you know?
No. No, I like Jacob Tammy this week against Indianapolis. It's a good pick.
It is a good pick.
It's a good pick.
But you sound so enthusiastic about it. Like, be happy about it.
I mean, I would be happy about it, but, I mean, my tight ends have scored for the last 3 or 4 weeks, the guys I picked, so
okay.
I feel confident.
No, you're right. You're right. Clive Wolford did have and he scored this week, too.
Yeah.
All right, so let's fly through the garbage. My garbage start at quarterback is Jay Cutler. I don't think the game that he had against St. Louis is representative of what he's going to do the rest of the season. And they're playing the number one pass defense in the league in the Denver Broncos. Look for Cutler to have a not-so-good game.
I'm going to disagree with you. I think that Denver has a very hard time moving the ball offensively, which will give plenty of time for Jay Cutler and this offense to be on the field and take advantage of a tired Denver defense.
Okay. My garbage start at wide receiver is Brandon Marshall, who is going against Houston. Houston doesn't have a terrible pass defense, and I think he winds up on the decline. My garbage at running back is Marshawn Lynch. I still don't think he's 100%. They're playing against San Fran, but I think this could be a game where they let him get healthy and they use Rawls a lot more. And then my garbage start at tight end is Tyler Eifert, who is going against the Arizona Cardinals, who are one of the better teams in the league against defending the tight end.
Yeah, Eifert had a quiet week this week, last night, Monday night. And I'm going to run it down real quick. Joe Flacco is playing the Rams, who've been good against tight ends. I mean quarterbacks, not tight ends. Joe Flacco's
until they play Jay Cutler.
Yeah, exactly. But I think they bounce back. St. Louis, you know, gets a win. What's that? Miami at Dallas? Oh, Jarvis Landry. Yeah. Dallas
plays good against number ones.
Yeah, and Jarvis Landry hasn't been playing well as a number one, so... He had a fluky touchdown last weekend, huh?
Yeah.
Bounced like 19 feet in the air, and then he came down with it.
Yep.
I think he has a quiet game along with Jeremy Hill, who's been quiet the last 3-4 weeks. and Antonio Gates going up against Kansas City, who defends tight ends real well. How's that for enthusiasm?
Well, you didn't really need it if you're talking about garbage players. That's going to do it for the Fantasy Golden Garbage. Before we leave you guys, we had one question sent to us. If you guys want to send us questions, you can find us on Facebook at the On the Clock Podcast. You can find us on Twitter at You're On the Clock, where it might be On the Clock Podcast. And then, or you can email us at ontheclockpodcast@gmail.com. The question was presented to us by Johnny Howell of Pro Wrestling Syndicate. He wants to know who your favorite football duo is and why. His example was his favorite, Trent Green, Tony Gonzalez. Right? Is that that's what he said?
Yeah.
Or Priest Holmes and Tony Gonzalez?
He said Trent Green and Tony.
Mike, go ahead with your favorite.
It's by far Tom Brady and Randy Moss.
Tom Brady and Randy Moss?
Yeah.
I like Culpepper and Moss more.
No way. Tom Brady and Randy Moss. Tom Brady's the greatest of all time, and so is Randy Moss.
My favorite, listen, there's a ton that I could have said.
And when they were in New England, come on, 16-0?
You know who I'm going to say.
No, I don't.
Kurt Warner and Torrey Holt.
They were good.
Part of the greatest show on turf. I could have said Kurt Warner and Marshall Faulk. I could have said Kurt Warner and Isaac Bruce. I could have went anyway with that. Honorable mentions, Jake DeLome, Steve Smith.
Sure, they were good.
I like that one. Let me see. Romo and Dez, I love.
Bledsoe and Molds.
How about Tommy Maddox and Hines Ward? I'm going throwback here.
Those are good ones.
Steve Young, Jerry Rice. I mean, you know.
Manning and Harrison.
Oh, that was beautiful.
They were good.
Romo and Witten.
Yeah, a little overrated, but.
How about.
What was his name? The lefty in Jacksonville. He just filed for bankruptcy. Quarterback.
Not Leftwich?
No, not Leftwich.
He played for the Jets too, right?
Yeah.
B. It starts with a B. Mark Brunell.
Mark Brunell and Jimmy Smith.
Yeah, that's a good one too.
Jimmy Smith was good.
Really good. How about a 1-2 punch at running back?
Thunder and Lightning? Tiki Barber and Ron Dane.
I was gonna say Earth, Wind and Fire. That was a pretty good one. But then you had
ready? Defensively.
You had
Brian Dawkins and Bobby Taylor.
Oh, wow. Champ Bailey and Dawkins.
Yeah, when he went over to Denver.
Who else?
That was good.
Who was the Wendell White and Chris Johnson?
In Tennessee?
Yep.
They were pretty good.
I mean, there hasn't the 1-2 punch is a fairly new thing.
Who was the guy, Sam Madison and Bobby Taylor in Miami?
That was pretty good.
Yeah.
That was pretty good. All right. So thanks for taking that walk with us down memory lane. But that's going to do it for us here at the On the Clock
McNabb podcast. And Westbrook.
Oh, wow. How about Westbrook and Staley? All right, guys. So, yeah, that's it. Thanks for tuning in. But make sure, more importantly, that you follow us on Facebook, Twitter, get the email address, do all that good stuff. You could follow me on Twitter at @_Matt_Geiger. You can follow Iron Mike on Twitter at @Iron_Mike_NJ. You can follow You Are on the Clock on Twitter at You Are on the Clock. And the Facebook page is You Are on the Clock Podcast. So make sure you're giving us all a follow. And also make sure you're checking out all the great content that the Lineup Media Group is putting out. They're giving us the opportunity to give you guys this podcast.
Yeah, thank you.
They also have a brand new NHL podcast called Chasing Pucks with Panger. You can find them at NHLpodcast.com. It's a brand new show with Kelly Chase and Darren Pang, both ex-NHL players. They put out a phenomenal first show, so we want to say shout-outs to them. Congratulations on the first episode. And like we said earlier, make sure you check out all of Lineup Media Group. They have a bunch of great content, things ranging from culture, cannabis, business, sports, you know, UFC, MMA, baseball, youth baseball, On the Clock. They have it all. So go to lineupmediagroup.com and make sure you check out everything that they're offering. And tune in next week when Iron Mike kicks me in my dick just because he doesn't like the way I look. So thanks again for listening, and we'll catch you next week.
AP!
You're on the clock with Matt Geiger. Download the show and link to our social media accounts at ontheclockpodcast.com. Plus, be sure to check out the entire podcast lineup, including Let's Get It On with Big John McCarthy and Sean Wheelock, Youth Baseball Talk, Ocho Man, Behind the 8 Ball, and more.